Hey friends, just wanted to drop a quick note. If you are a teacher or an administrator in the school and you're looking for a tool, a resource that can help better engage your students, that can get them more all in on the classroom experience and overall elevate the classroom and school experience for the students, then you need to take advantage of our Lead 'Em Up classroom. We officially have launched our Lead 'Em Up classroom so teachers and administrators can begin utilizing the same powerful curriculum that coaches have been utilizing since 2015, but now in the classroom. Available through a school-wide rollout or even a single teacher within a single classroom, whatever best suits your needs, take advantage of the Lead 'Em Up classroom and allow your students to experience the same power and growth that our student athletes have been experiencing for years. Take advantage of our Lead 'Em Up classroom. Make sure you bring this into your school. You don't want to go another school year without the Lead 'Em Up influence within your student body. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam, and normally alongside Kyle, but Kyle's out of town today. So I am joined by my good friend, Eric Burnett. And Eric is the head coach at Phoenixville Area High School, boys basketball, and they had a fantastic season. And, you know, Eric and I have kind of, maybe from a distance, been familiar with one another, but it was really over this season that as they jumped in to Lead 'Em Up that we were able to really kind of connect and kind of get to know each other. And Eric, I just first got to thank you for taking the time to kind of jump on an episode, and I'm excited to go through your story with you. So I appreciate you taking time to join us.
Yeah, Adam, thank you so much for having me on. Been a big fan of yours and all your work for a lot of years. As a head coach now for 10 years, I can think back even before then, just following you along and really buying into everything that you're about. So thank you so much. I'm excited to share a little bit about our story this season and you know, talk about our experiences.
Yeah, no. And it, man, I appreciate that. And Eric, man, what a season. You know, as I mentioned, this year really got connected to Phoenixville, and you and I were texting all season long and following the journey, and it was a heck of a run, and we'll certainly get to that. But, you know, this year, as special as it was, before we jump into where we were this year, fill us in on what it looked like at the end of last year. I'm curious, like, essentially, like, where did we end off last year, and what did we go into this season returning? Right. What were our expectations based off last year going into this year, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a long time coming here with here at Phoenixville, and last year specifically, we had one senior. With the previous year, we graduated 11 seniors. So when we went into last season, we had essentially zero varsity playing experience. And we had one guy, Max Lebisky, who had a little bit of experience, but overall, we started the season with a bunch of new guys, fresh faces to the varsity scene. We started the season 2-7. So it was a little rocky start, but you could see that there was something there. There was no quit in the team. They had the hunger to keep working. Then we ended up finishing the year 8-4 down the stretch. And you really started to see some things come together and piece it together. And the mindset was great from our guys. So, we ended the year, we didn't make the playoffs. It was disappointing. We missed it by one game. But you could tell that the hunger was there to go into the off season and put in the work that was necessary. We only lost one senior, an incredible leader, but he wasn't on the floor a lot. So we returned all five seniors or all five players this year, which was great.
And as you're going through a season like that, where you're looking, you see that you're young, you see that you don't have experience, you find yourself in those moments, Eric, where you begin zooming out and not being so concerned with the results today, knowing that, like, this is not going to be my team that makes the run, but zooming out and saying, like, okay, when I look at this team, I think I have I've got a 2-3 year big potential picture. Do you find yourself zooming out and looking at it in a bigger lensed it like that?
Oh yeah, I think one of the things that I was able to do a lot over the last two seasons, you know, we kind of grouped this team into 2 years with them. They all were together. We had 11, 12 guys that returned, and one of the things, taking a step back as a coach, you know, I got this job when I was 26, you know, being 36, 37 now, and it's you learn a lot over the years, and this, one of the things that I think I've really learned to do with this group specifically was take that step back. And it wasn't about the X's and O's. I knew that they could play on the court. It was all about the connections and just having fun. I always caught myself with my assistant coach just saying how enjoyable it was every single day to just show up and be around this group of players. Because it wasn't just the talent, it was just their personalities and how much fun they had together. And there was no extra nonsense all off the court, and their grades. We just had, it was just such a great, just a great recipe. I couldn't be more happy for that group.
So you obviously the year you missed the playoffs last year, but you're not discouraged because you see and you understand the bigger picture. You're probably going into the offseason stoked and excited about just like this year that we just finished, like the upcoming year. And like, man, we've got everybody minus one coming back, all of our starters. We just gained so much experience. Did you finish that season going into this offseason? Were you fired up?
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. When we went through, I don't know how many games we played. We hit the ground running in the spring and summer, and we were crushing some teams, and you could really see. I remember in a summer league, and we played a couple state finalists in the start of the summer league, and we handled them well. And I looked at my coach and I said, "We're going to be really good." And it was the first 5 minutes of the game. And as the offseason progressed, you know, you play all these games and you do all these workouts. It started to get a little stale. You know, the guys are going out, they're winning. You know, we weren't playing the best basketball. And we were just kind of just winning from playing together and being a better team. But it was just missing a little bit. And that's where, you know, something like your program and the other stuff that we've been doing really helped us take off and flourish.
What is, one could say, yeah, summer always has a little bit of staleness anyways, because it's summer and all that. But like, what does that mean? Like, try to actually describe it. Like, was it just like a complacency started creeping in? Was it just not as fun and just kind of going through the motions? Like, what did that feel look like?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was all three of those. Complacency. You know, we were winning games, and it just, after the game, it was like, okay, we won. Like, there wasn't really, it was just another summer league game off. And so we really had to take a hard look at things. And you know, I'll be honest in saying in the fall, it carried into the fall. And I'm like, you know, if this is going to be our mindset going into the fall, when the lights come on, going into the season, it's going to get tough. And
did the teams just start thinking they were better than they were? Like, was it almost like an arrogance, would you say?
I wouldn't say an arrogance. It was more so just like, I think we needed to get beat up a little bit. Like we needed to get have some teams that were going to, you know, take it to us. And we got some of that in some of our fall leagues. And, we had a lot of great leadership moments that really, I can pinpoint a couple different moments that helped. The aha moments for our guys that were like, okay, this isn't going to work the way that we're doing this. So, specific one. Oh, whew, we run a mile. So we run a six minute mile. We'll have our guards run a six, forwards can run anywhere between the 6:20, 6:30. It was a pretty brisk, fall night. And we're out there on the track, lights are on, just us. And one of our guys was kind of going a little bit slower than I knew he had more in the tank, and it was the last lap. So I'm like, you know what? I put my phone down, hand the timer to the coach. I'm like, I ran with him on the lap. So I'm talking to him, I'm pushing him through, and I'm with them, and we're the last in line. And I don't, no one knew who that I was running with them, because we were behind everybody. So I'm pushing them, and we get around the far corner at the track. The coaches stand at one side. We get around down the far end, and I see like three or four guys cut a corner. And so there was, and it was a mix of older guys, younger guys. And I said to the guy I was running with, it was Aiden. I said, "What was that? What did I just see?" And he was like, "Coach," he was like, there's been a couple guys that were cutting that curve. And our times were like through the roof fast that day. So I, you know, I didn't say anything. I let the
cutting the corner on a track.
So
like literally running like in some of the grass.
No. So we have there's a big space. So it goes around the curve of the football field, and there's like a big gap between like the field goal post and the track. And it's made of track. It's like the track material.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just kind of cut it, and it definitely cut a couple seconds off their time. So I let it go for, you know, at the end, I don't say anything. And then I bring him into the gym, and I didn't even crush him. I sat him down, and I just expressed the disappointment that I had and that the coaches had. And, you know, it takes a lot to be disappointed. You can be frustrated and angry and upset, but I just had disappointment in that moment, because that's not what we're about, and that's not going to get us to where we want to go. And that moment right there was a big moment in our season, because you didn't see anything like it the rest of the way.
Yeah, and you could almost, I'd imagine you could feel the players were feeling it. They knew, like, okay, what we did is unacceptable, and it, to your point, won't get us where we want to go.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, you said, you know, having coached 10 years, starting age 26, you're now in 36, 37, you talked about learning a lot. So you're growing into this year, you kind of finish, you know, with a lot of success in the offseason leading up to this year, but you could sense some staleness, you could see some moments of complacency, you could see some, you know, less than championship level behavior with cutting corners and things like that. And from my perspective, and based on some of the things you said, it seems like you kind of went into the season more intentional than ever before on a leadership, character, culture standpoint.
Absolutely.
Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. 100%. Like, we knew the talent was there, but at the same time, it took every ounce of our effort to build the leadership and focus on the relationships with the coaches to the players, but also building those relationships amongst the players, because we had we had sophomores and juniors and seniors playing, and some of those younger guys were playing over a lot of the seniors. So we knew
even
it was
had a player time. Come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Player come in from the outside, right? That transferred in, which, and he's a player. So that always changes the dynamic of the room a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about that. He was a freshman. So he comes in and, you know, he had to play and work his way up, and we gave him that opportunity and he ran with it. But just a credit to our team and their attitudes and focus on being great kids. You know, ultimately it was just, they knew what the goal was and they locked into it. So that didn't tear us apart, which in a lot of teams, it probably could have.
That's a great call out, actually. You know, I think it is a result of the maturity and character of the players, the intentional effort on the culture development to allow something, to your point, that can create a major wedge disruption and distraction for many programs, may even break some programs, and to be able to absorb that. That's not an easy thing, right? And people always think like, oh yeah, oh, Eric got lucky. He got a really talented transfer. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, do you know the challenge that can produce, right? Yeah. Not just from like figuring out the on-court dynamic, right? But just all the personalities, because if someone comes in and they're younger and they begin playing and he got minutes, I believe, right? He got minutes, you know, now all of a sudden that changes three, four, five other people's roles. Right. And that can be difficult. There's just a list of different challenges that can produce. But Eric, tell me what the increase of intentionality and leadership, character and culture, what did that look like? How did it play out? What was some of the things you were doing throughout the course to kind of allow that to be a strong focal point in your program this year?
Yeah, I think one of the main things that we've really focused on was giving them the opportunity to something called Tell the Truth Mondays, and where they just, I let them just go in the locker room, talk about whatever they want to talk about, get it out, get it open, and let them have it. And I found that very beneficial.
When you're in the room.
We've done both where, hey, coach, we need a minute. This is going to be private. Or I've been in one where, where I just kind of guide it and listen, and I ask for it too. What are some things that we could do better to help serve you practice wise, or,
open?
Very much so. So that's one thing that I think that for better or worse, I like the feedback, and I like to sit down in groups of three or four small little circles and, hey, what do you want from your coaches? What are some things in practice that we can help with to help you? And I think that's something that's really helped us go a long way to not just the star players. I want to help the 11th, 12th, 13th guy on the roster improve each day. So, that's something that we're really locked in on this year. Going into kind of what you've helped provide, but another great moment was the sugar and salt. And that's kind of an activity that on those Tell the Truth Mondays, it kind of morphed into sugar and salt wasn't really anything. Oh, like, wow, this is something totally new. It was just a different element to it. And they took that and we spent 2 hours doing it. That was our practice.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And you can even going back to their end of the year exit interviews, one of the their favorite moment or game changing moment was sugar and salt conversation. So really good stuff.
Well, and you also had a really cool kind of green board of sorts that you kind of introduced this year in light of the green team and the themes of Lead 'Em Up. Speak on that board and kind of what that all entailed.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with our program in terms of just the booster club and our parents and what we're able to do in terms of raising funds to get a pretty much like an incentive program and shout each other out. And so we took the green team and, talked about being money and what a money teammate was. So that we identified what we wanted our team to be and what we wanted to be about. And we came up with a chart: enthusiasm, daily attitude, all stuff that's controllable. And then we went to, more measurables of shooting and the sharpshooter for the day and statistics in a game. So they could earn a money stamp throughout a game or throughout practice. And it could be any player. Hey, this guy was in the gym after practice. Boom, that's enthusiasm. And he gets a stamp. So, and they would come in, they'd take the stamp, they put it on the board. By the end of the week, we had, if you had seven or more, 7 to 10, and we had a little range going, they could earn different incentives, a t-shirt, a hat. And they loved it. It just took off. The next thing you know, we're up to 10 or 12 stamps and guys are fighting for that enthusiasm award or sharpshooter award of the day. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, before you know it, the booster club's getting hit up. We're like, hey, we need more gear.
Yeah.
These boys are crushing it right now. And by the way, Phoenixville has some fantastic gear, may I say. I've seen the closet, the gear closet. It's stacked. All right, let's start talking about the season. All right, so you enter in, you've returned so many players from the previous year. You're in a good spot. You recognize over the summer, man, we've got potential, right? You're going into the season more intentional than ever from a leadership character standpoint. And, man, how did the season begin? If you look at, the first half of the season, did you come out guns a-blazing or was it a little rocky?
This season was unlike any other. My son was born the day before our first game. So
that's just bad. That's bad timing on your part. You gotta do the math.
So we're my wife and I, we're talking like, when this is gonna happen? When's this gonna happen? And so the we had everything in place. My assistant coaches are ready to go. Everybody kind of knew it was going to happen here. And I'll never forget that moment where, you know, we have our son, and you know, we get out of the hospital Friday, and my wife's like, "You got to go. You know, got to go. This is the season." And we had that excitement of the season. You know, just we knew that this was going to be something special. And yeah, I can't say enough about, you know, my wife being supportive in that moment. But yeah.
By the way, supportive spouse is the most underrated element in coaching.
Oh, without a doubt. She, you know, she's been around for, you know, we've been together since 18, but she knows basketball is right up there, and you know, that's my passion. But man, it's you couldn't have nailed it better. So to see her, you know, I don't want to get off topic, but to see her joy when we won the championship with both of my kids was everything to me, because she knows how much work that I put in, but she sacrifices so much. So
yeah. So you have the baby. So yeah, what does that first half of the season look like from a team perspective?
So going on, we came out pretty hot. I knew our schedule was going to be tough. We won our tip off tournament. You know, we haven't done that. We've hosted a tournament for the last 4 or 5 years, and this was the first year that we won the tournament. Had some really good teams in there, and then went into non-league play. Playing a school like Westchester Henderson, it was, you know, one of the best teams in the state. You know, they had a couple of Division I kids, and you know, we hung with them. And when we saw that we could hang with them, and we didn't play nearly as good as we could, we had some foul trouble. You know, we knew things were going to be trending up for us, so we started to gain some confidence with our non-league schedule, and that took us right into league play, and we got started off hot in league play, you know, it's you could feel the energy, and you could feel the positivity shifting from that fall kind of lull that we had to the lights were on, and the boys showed up. So
hey guys, this is Kayla with Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Over the years, I feel like the most respected leaders and the most respected team members at Chick-fil-A are the ones that hold themselves accountable to the very highest level of expectations. In fact, you might say that they don't even need leadership because they monitor their own decisions and they check in on their own work. They don't leave anything on the table. In fact, if they can do it better, they're going to take it every single time. It's this internal drive to do nothing less than their very best, even when nobody's watching. They know that this is what takes it to the next level. So the question is, are you fueled by an internal accountability for excellence in every decision that you make? Do you put in the same amount of effort when nobody's watching you? That's what great respected leaders do. Now let's jump back to the episode.
So even in the midst of some losses, if you think about Westchester High, like, confidence was still building even in the midst of losses like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you learn a lot from losses, obviously. It sounds cliche, but I think we learn more from what we could have done a little bit better. And we had a couple of those losses this year to Springford, who we ended up playing in the championship, and Westchester Henderson and some of these other teams, where we lost and we knew that we could have beat them. But we also had one or two losses that I can think of that early on that pretty much we knew we should have won. We didn't play together. We didn't play connected. And it ultimately ended up resulting in a loss that could have hurt us down the path. Had we not picked up a couple more of big wins in our district play. So, you know, those are ones that you got to look at, and that kind of helped us refocus after some of those losses.
And what was the regular season record? What'd you end up at?
We ended up at 18 and 6.
Okay.
18 and 6.
And talk about the season, you know, Were there any big moments of adversity that you faced, whether it was major injuries, whether it was, let's be honest, some elements of selfishness starting to creep in, where you're having to like really kind of address these things? Or was the season just kind of this relatively clean upward trajectory throughout the whole season?
I mean, there's not many seasons that have that clean trajectory. So we definitely battled some sicknesses. We battled our point guard was down for two games and out for three or four days actually. So we missed him and we were able to fill in and get a big win in our division against Pottstown, who we played four times this year. That was a big moment for us when we won that game without Dawson. Really big game. Just we had other guys step up, and that's where, you know, our sixth, seventh man really started to come into their own and started to get some confidence. And it was just that from there they could see, all right, we can beat anyone, even if we don't have our starting point guard. So that was a huge moment for us. I can think of another really big moment against Pope John Paul, our biggest rivalry. We beat them in the first game, and then we played at Pope John Paul the second game, you know, packed house, biggest rivalry of the year. And we're up 11 with like 2.5 minutes to go, and we end up losing. Really bad loss. Everything could have went wrong in the final 2.5 minutes did, in terms of turnovers, missed shots, missed foul shots, lack of execution. You could see the fabric start to kind of come apart. So that moment there, going into the rest of our league play, I mean, we had targets on our back after all year, but after that, we couldn't afford to lose. And knowing that our goals of winning our division and then wanting to win our overall conference, we couldn't afford to lose a game. And we ended up winning 8 straight after that game. And coming together and in a lot of really close games. And so that moment of that loss was tough, and our guys bounced back.
But a blessing in many ways as it relates to how it sprung you guys forward.
Yeah. I mean, that was without that moment and being able to sit down after that game and talk over the next 2 days of why, let's dig into why. Why is this? Let's really watch the film, not just the X's and O's, but let's look at our huddle. Let's look at our bench. Let's look at our energy on the court. How are we high-fiving on all those little things that we were able to pick at and able to really dive into, helped us come together for the rest of the year. So we could look back and say, well, we could have won this and we should have won that. And our record could have been, we could have had 24 wins. And ultimately, I don't think we get to where we got without some of that adversity. So to answer your question, the trajectory wasn't perfect, but it was what we needed.
You know, it's and you know, they always say in sports, you got to be at your best when it matters most. And, you know, after that loss, you put together 8 in a row, kind of finishing the regular season. Fantastic, right? The momentum. And one of the things you had was, and you kind of talked on it there for a moment, you mentioned the term fabric. Mm-hmm. Speak on that, because that was one of these themes that you had this year that really it kind of came about in a relatively just kind of, you know, a normal way, but it actually grew into something. It developed into like a strong kind of connection point for you guys. Speak on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it goes back to last year, actually, when we started with this group, we talked about the journey, and on our very first day of practice, you know, one of my old professors taught me this game of called what's in the bag. And you basically get, as a team, the group gets 10 or 11 guesses, yes or no questions. And they have to try to guess what's in the bag. And I just say yes or no. And they can answer, is it food? Is it, you know, is it a liquid, anything? Is it a material? So basically, it gets down to they have to put a guess out. And what was in the bag was a net, a championship net. And that moment, we didn't talk about cutting a net down. It was just how strong the net was and what it was made of and the fabric of it. And I specifically remember them passing it around and talking about it and pulling it apart, trying to pull it apart and dissect, hey, what are the knots tied together? What does that mean? What does that represent? So just, you know, what it, being connected and being tough and impossible to pull apart. So going to this year, the fabric just kind of, every guy just talked about the fabric and not coming apart, and the fabric can stretch, but it never pulls apart. And, you know, it gives me chills thinking about the moment that we haven't talked about that net or that moment at 2 years ago, until, you know, we went to the game, the championship game, we played the game, what's in the bag. And, before we got on the bus, and we didn't have to play. I just sat the bag that I sat down. It's like a little Phoenix, little lunch bag. And, coach, it's the net fabric, like the fabric, they jumped right on it. Like, but, it was just a really cool moment.
Hold on. Were you expecting them not to remember? Were you thinking no. that they like had lost their mind out of their memory?
I was hoping that they would, cause we do so much silly stuff and like just fun little like warm up conversations and different things like that. And I was hoping that they would guess something else. Like, I didn't think that they would actually think about the net being in the bag. But I was so fired up.
What a great connection point, though, to bring that back up in that moment.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it was just, you know, that's what we've talked about. And that helped us get us through that moment of after that loss to PJP, what does our fabric look like? Like, we are all responsible. You're all your own individual, not holding us together and tying us together. And, you know, when we were able to open that net up out of the bag and hey, we're going to come home with two nets tonight. And they were just fired up. They could have, if I would have sent the bus on the way, they would have sprinted to the championship game and they were fired up. So it's a cool moment for us.
Yeah. And you end up kind of winning that championship game. The locker room after electric, I remember getting the video or seeing the video. I think we shared the video. And I'm watching moments like that on video, and some would argue and say, well, like, yeah, that's what a championship locker room should look like. But also, I try not to be that short-sighted. I try to understand the bigger picture, that championship locker rooms in those moments, yes, that is what it should look like, but it only looks like that when you've got everything preceding it healthy and strong, right? Mm-hmm. To allow you to be in that situation. And it's almost that championship locker room, you coming in and the water being sprayed and all that stuff. It's really a culmination right. of everything that leads up to it.
Right.
And it's almost like this release. And I could tell, I was so happy for you guys. I was like, that, you know, we say green teams, green moments, they change your life, right? Because they produce an experience you'll never forget and a memory that lives with you forever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that is the case for you and for that team just a few months ago in those moments.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't say enough about this group of players. I mean, without the just ability to show up every day and put their individual goals to the side, and they literally, there wasn't really a bad day. I often talk about the ride home, and I used to, as a younger coach, you know, just think about on the ride home, you let it impact you, and then it would carry with me into my house or into my family. And just the ride home. So I mentioned to them, just let's make the ride home every day just great. Like, did we have fun today? Did we give it all we got today? And I think that without the leadership and the seniors being able to put some of their goal, some of their, you know, their individual goals to the side, we could have never had those, the green team that we had. So they deserve the biggest shout out, you know, without a doubt.
And I, you know, in my work, I get to see the good, the bad, the ugly, and I get to be around teams. And, you know, I always say I'm the constant, the teams are the variables, right? So I go in and I teach, lead them up. I'm teaching the same thing, Eric. You know, I'm teaching the same thing time and time again. I'm probably saying the same stories. I'm sharing the same examples. I'm coming at it with the same energy. I am the constant. The teams are the variables. So in light of that, I'm able to see, man, why does this team respond this way when this team responded this way? Well, you know, why do these kids participate, but these kids don't? Why are these athletes leaned in while these are leaned back, right? And I say all that because we had a really cool kind of session in the locker room towards the end of the year. And I could tell, right, like walking in, interacting, that, man, there was great vibes in this room. There were great relationships in this room. The connections were strong. You could see just how they were seated, how they were interacting with each other, the banter, the conversations before and after. All of these little moments, someone in my mind, I'm watching it all, right? Because it's all indicative of just the health of this team, the health of the culture, the vulnerability that they're willing to exhibit, the relationships amongst them. And I could feel something really, really special, even in some of your young athletes too, which is always a really, though they are litmus tests in many ways. When you look at younger athletes, how they are interacting with their peers, because if it's not the healthiest culture, you see them kind of go in a downward momentum where they just kind of close off a little bit. They just play a role. They stay quiet. You recall, you had one freshman, I think he was.
Yep.
Where I actually thought he was a senior.
Yeah.
You remember? I forget his
name. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yep.
Yeah. What was his name again?
That was Jacoby. You said, is Jacoby, is he the guy? Like, is he your guy? And I was like, well, he's going to be one of our guys because he's only a freshman, Adam. And
I was blown away, right? Because I'm watching and there's a story to be told in this, because I'm sitting there and I don't know the team that well, right? I'm not looking at the box score coming in. I didn't get that type of scouting report. So I'm just sitting in there and I'm just like, I'm seeing some of these young guys kind of lead and talk and kind of participate and, you know, are leaned in and engaged. And once again, I'm like, wow. I'm like, is he the guy? Like, is he just had this bravado about him, confidence? But once again, I think it speaks to the power of your program and the health of your program, that even underclassmen feel so connected, so comfortable, so willing to be vulnerable, so empowered to step up and kind of show up a certain way, right? That is a strength and testament to the culture, Eric.
Yeah, I thank you for that. And that comes back. It takes a lot. It's never ending. And the seniors, when they all buy into it and, hey, this isn't cheesy, this isn't lame, this is what it takes. And they all took it and ran with it. And to your point, you know, we had a couple of college coaches in this year to watch a couple of our guys. And, I recall one, he says, if I didn't know who I was recruiting, he said, I would never really know like who the starting five was, who the guys were. He's like, 'cause I come in here, the whole place is loud. The gym has so much energy. He's like, I can't really tell who's who. Like most high schools have this guy's dogging it over here. That guy's, you know, not giving it all over there. He said that this is something special. And to your point, like you didn't with Jacoby, it was, you know, very similar.
Yeah. And I always say teams that struggle in their culture, for us, the more red cultures are usually top heavy green, meaning there's like one or two green guys and then a big disparity amongst the rest of the team. And they're being kind of relied upon and depending on the green leadership of one or two players. And it never works out.
Yep.
It never reaches its full potential. But when you begin to see it kind of live throughout, so like when we do green verification votings, especially that first round, and let's say we're on a basketball program, there's 14 players on the roster. If we do a first round verification voting and I've got like 11 people receiving votes, that is fantastic.
Yep.
Right, because it means we're all showing up across the board. We're not being dependent on one or two to drive the culture. And you know, that was pretty clear with your group right there. And I think it'll be powerful to remind even the seniors that are leaving, that will be part of their legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because next year, when you begin to kind of lean into the green team and begin to kind of pour into that, the buy-in that you will get from next year's team will be a direct result of the buy-in that the seniors led last year. Because if the seniors didn't lead and buy in this year, the chance of you getting buy-in next year, almost gone, right? Yeah, they will absolutely have already gone through it. It didn't really produce the effect. It wasn't received the way you hoped. They're not buying in. I mean, they're not. But remind your seniors that when your next year's team buys in, it will be because in many ways they're buying the previous year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we've given shout outs to our one senior from last year, Wade. He was a baseball guy, great athlete, great kid, great student. You know, mucker grinder kind of on the court. And he didn't play a lot. I'll be honest, he didn't play a lot, but he showed up every single day with a great attitude, great work ethic. And I think for some of those seniors this year to see that and watch him as an example, hey, Wade was able to, you know, put everything to the side and just let you guys kind of develop. And I think he was a great example for us. And that's what you want as a coach. I'll be honest. It's been hard. It's been tough. It's one of the toughest things we do as a coach with parents and other commitments and different things. You know, so it has not been easy, but to your point where we can pass down to the next group, that's ultimately what you want and build those experiences that they can take with them, those seniors.
So. You know, it's as we wrap up here, Eric, if you're ever in the Pennsylvania area, is Phoenixville considered like central PA?
It's southeastern PA.
Southeastern. Okay. Southeastern PA, if you're ever around and you want to enjoy a basketball game and see a very unique environment, go watch a game at Phoenixville because I hear that it is arguably the loudest gym on the East Coast or somewhere like that.
Yeah. Oh, we were 12-0 there this year.
What is happening in this gym? Because everyone talks about it, right? Don, your AD, talked about it. A couple of the guys told me about it. And then when I posted a story that I was at Phoenixville, I had another coach that coaches in Maryland who grew up in that area was like, oh my gosh, the volume in that gym is crazy. I remember playing there as a sophomore or junior and I couldn't hear myself think. And it was so intimidating. Like, what the heck? Do y'all pump white noise into it?
It is. It's amazing. Just the acoustics, it's dark. It's small. And it just has a feel to it. It's got that old school feel that not a lot of schools have these days. It's like, you know, you got the Taj Mahal of gyms everywhere and little Phoenixville. You can go back as far, you know, Wilt Chamberlain played in a gym and there's pictures of him playing in there. And it's just a great place. The story of being able to transition from our district gym into there was very unique. There was a kid on a night of one of our guys, Christian Kelly, was going to score his 1,000th point. And we played in the big district gym back then. And a situation happened at the middle school gym. And they said, we have to move this game over to the high school. And we're like, what? Everybody's looking around. Why the high school? This is the biggest game. There's not enough seats. Christian's going to get his 1,000th point. We end up going over there. And it was the most electric gym. And he dunked his 1,000th point. The place just went absolutely nuts.
Wow.
We ended up talking our athletic director at the time and the administration at the time. We're like, we have to get this. This is our spot. This is the new spot. And since then, you know, major credit to our athletic administration, Don and everybody to letting us keep playing in there. Cause it gets rocking.
Is the volume really?
You need hand signals when you come in there. It's for some of the, I shouldn't give that information out. But for some of the new coaches that stepped in there, they're like, man, I wasn't expecting that. And you can, you know, I've lost my voice many, many nights in there. So,
man, that's fantastic. Well, Eric, it was a fantastic season. You know, these are the seasons why you get into coaching, frankly.
It's
the seasons that allow you to continue coaching. It's the seasons that make it hard to one day walk away from coaching.
Yep.
Is when you get to experience a season like this. And, you know, congratulations on your success. Thank you for taking time to kind of take part in this championship series that we're doing. Just want to encourage everyone listening, you know, check out the other episodes. We're doing a collection of 6 episodes within this championship series as we just kind of connect with 6 coaches from the past season that all went on championship runs, just to kind of go through their journey. And once again, hoping that you take away some nuggets and just little things that maybe were shared today that you can incorporate into your program and just utilize to help shift your mindset to be a better coach yourself. Eric, thank you so much. Appreciate your time today, man.
Yeah, Adam, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. Over the course of my coaching career, I've always, kind of looked for activities and different things that we can do that it right for the moment. And your program, it provides almost everything for any given moment, which is so many different activities and different conversations that you can dive into. So, big thanks to our school district and Don for getting you on board. And, I loved connecting with you this season, and, thank you so much.
And we'll keep it rolling next year, man.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
And coaches, go ahead.
Be well and enjoy your March Madness. Hopefully your bracket's hanging in there.
Oh, man, it's struggling a little bit. But nonetheless, hey, on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. Until next time, coaches, have fun and lead 'em up.